All right. You know what I just felt when I felt that frustration, that song that we sang about Revelations, about what Jesus looks like with his sword and his armor and everything, really also just felt that the devil wants to challenge how you see God. Mm-hmm. He wants to change the perspective that you have. Instead of that, he's the conquering king, the king of kings and the lord of lords, the one who sits on the throne, the one who rules and reigns. He wants to challenge that in your life. And he will use circumstances and even your sickness or whatever to do that. And look, I'll be transparent. For me and Laurette, this last month has been that. You know, we constantly have to encourage one another and rise up together and say, no, but the word of God is true. Because here's the thing, especially when it comes to physical ailments and healing, trusting God for that, you know, you're praying, it seems like nothing is happening. And then we just get discouraged and we actually stop believing that by the stripes of Christ, we actually have been healed. That is my portion. That is my inheritance. It is paid for. And I don't understand why God not every time, just like in a moment, heals us. Man, I wish he would do that. And he does that. But sometimes I have to walk this out. And I tell you, I know in the week, I'll testify this way. I've got an issue with my feet. I don't know what it is. I'm seeing a biokineticus. I don't know what that is in English. It's the moeilik in Afrikaans al klaar, so I don't know what that must be in English. I know it's close when you say it, but this tongue doesn't want to say that word. But in any case, so I've been seeing this guy, and it's been frustrating. Last week, Sunday, after church, I went home, and I was in so much pain, it was not funny. I was really battling. And I sent him a message. I said, listen, I don't know what you're doing, but now I am in serious pain. Any case, I was there on Tuesday again for him to look at it and so on. But Wednesday, at some point, it's like the lights just went on again. And I realized I've been tolerating this. You know, now I've been praying. And Jesus heal me. And I've really been pushing into that. But it's almost like I've accepted my lot. So I'm praying, he's here to help. And I started getting cheesed. In the spirit, I guess. And I decided, okay, so if pain is what I'm walking in, then I'm going to address it by the spirit every time I feel it. So for me, it's become a reminder that I need to proclaim the glory of God in my body. The truth of the Bible that says that I have been healed. And I can tell you, I'm actually feeling quite well. Yeah. Yeah. I got a little bit of pain. So I still need to go. No, I'm not taking this anymore. I don't want to encourage you. I don't know what your battle is. I don't know what you're fighting. But if the devil wants to frustrate you, if he wants to slow you down, if he wants to cause you to back off just even a little bit, don't take it. He wants to frustrate the image of God in your life. And our God is the conquering king. He's the mighty God. He's the God who can do anything, to whom nothing is impossible. And then he chose you and me and anointed us to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Listen, saints, we really need to take up our stance in Christ in a big way at this time. Oh, it's just me that think that. Okay. All right. Okay. No, so that's cool. We need to rise up. We need to rise up. And it's as much here at church as what it is when you leave here and wherever you go. And I think that is what life is about. This is what this living intentionally for eternity is about. And we're going to walk this out, and we're going to trust God to lead us in ways He's never led us before, to lead us into boldness and to lead us to conquer and to take back what the enemy has stolen. This morning in the prayer, you know, that image of that army was so vivid to me. Where that army stands and it stands against the foes. You know, we've got the battle line. What was beautiful to me, that this army of God is not just all about the battle. Yes, we have to stand. But behind the front line, there is this caring, this love, this looking one after one another that's going on there too. You know, if one falls there in the front, when you kind of walk past him, you go like, hey, come, let me minister to you and help you. This beautiful picture. And I think we need to, I guess, fight for God's plan, even for us as a congregation, in the same way that we resist the devil. Because I've been church in a long time. And many of you have been too. And if you can sow a bit of strife or division here, if you listen to something and you hear something and you pick up someone else's offense even though you think you didn't, then there's something that happens in the body. Then someone lies on the ground, you go like, yeah, but you deserve it. Instead of picking them up, I'm not sure why I'm saying this. This is not on my notes. But let's minister to one another as much as we take on the enemy. Let's advance. Take back that which the devil has stolen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So this morning we're talking about intentionality, but last week we looked at James 1 verse 22 and 25, and we looked at, you know, when we look into the mirror, we look at ourselves, and when we walk away, we forget what we see. And as I was thinking about intentionality this week, and I read the scripture, let's just read it again. It says, but become doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So there is a place where I can just hear it, you know, think I know it, but I don't do it. And then deception creeps in. Verse 25, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, he is not a forgetful hearer, but doer of the work. This one shall be blessed in his doing. You know, and I want to contend for that last sentence. I want to be blessed in everything that I do. And I realized as I looked at the scripture, can you see the intentionality that is in the scripture? The intentionality to be a doer of the word. There's action. There's something that I need to do. There's a place that I guess I need to take my body. So this morning we're going to focus on intentionality. That next slide, if you will. Just one back. Yes, that one. If you think of who of you here consider yourself very intentional people, like OCD intentional. You know, you always kind of have got the plan, and you're working the plan. Who of you are professional procrastinators? Okay. I'm glad to see there's some honest people. Who of you do not know what you are? Oh, they're just joking. All right. You know, I think it's probably one of my biggest battles was not even just being intentional, but not being a procrastinator. Was one of my battles in life. And even when I started my business, I remember here in Cape Town, you know, you get work, and then I'll have jobs lined up for the day. And when it gets to about 3 o'clock, I'm thinking, not less for this. So I'll just bump this one over. It's not that urgent. I can bump it over to tomorrow, whatever. And the one day in my quiet time, God says to me, so Kobus, I just want to know, how can I bless you more if you keep procrastinating on the stuff that I gave you today? And I went, eesh. He said, be faithful to do what you need to do today and let me take care of tomorrow. So from that point, I worked hard, man. I did all the jobs that I could fit in that day, and I would postpone it only when necessary, because I didn't want to frustrate the purposes of God in my life and His blessing because I'm procrastinating, because I'm actually lazy. Some serious confessions coming out here this morning. No, sure. But in exploring intentionality, I want to be very careful that even the whole thing about life, I want to be very careful that, you know, this is not just about, it's not about works in the flesh. Because sometimes, you know, when you hear sermons like these, you think, you know, I must just do. But I want to make it clear that this message is rooted from the place of a knowing a loving Father, who I love very much, who I want to please with everything that is in me. And I know that I have been saved by grace, and none of what I do here will make that I can be saved or not saved. I'm not working for my salvation. I'm walking out who I am as a Christian, as a son of God. So I've been wrestling with this because I don't want people to think that it's all about the doing now again. Yes, there is doing, but it's not in a place of from a place of me trying to earn God's favor. It's from a place of me knowing God, knowing His heart, and walking with Him in this earth to fulfill His purposes. That's what this is about. So I thought I just want to kind of put that disclaimer out there so that we're all on the same page, because I don't want you to misunderstand this. So the definition of intentionally is this: in planned and intended way, in a planned and intended way, with awareness of what one is doing, with deliberate consciousness or focus. Whew, I'm so much tired already. Yo, now I'm awake. That sounds like a lot of work to me. Huh? Suddenly I actually have to think about what I'm doing here. So there's a few synonyms of this too. It's deliberately, on purpose, purposefully, purposely, whatever the difference is there, by design, knowingly. In other words, it creates this picture for me when we talk about living intentionally for eternity. It creates this picture that I deliberately plan stuff on purpose. I think it's also not just planning it, but actually doing it, executing the plan. Because I can write a lot of stuff in my dagboek, and if I don't do it, it was a nice dagboek. I can page back and go, hey, listen, I think I intended to do this and I didn't do it. So if you think of living intentionally for eternity and you apply this to your walk with Christ, what would this look like? And I think this is partly what I feel in the spirit, is that the devil wants to pacify us so that we don't do this. You know, I'm just walking by grace. You know, I'm just walking in love. It's all good. And in the meantime, I have actually no kingdom impact, or very little. Because I'm not intentional with today, with this life. Like I said last week, we have received life. You have got breath in your lungs. What does God want to do it with that life today? What does He want to do with it? It makes me wake up in a different way. Because I don't want to just wake up every day trying to fight things of this world, get through my day. You know, I want to accomplish a few things. And not for me. With a focus on eternity. I want to accomplish stuff that's going to impact eternity. So when we explore intentional living for eternity, then we live in a planned or intended way with awareness of what we are doing, with deliberate conscious focus. That puts things in a bit of a different light. And we see this when Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27. He actually speaks about these things, and he relates how he tackles this. Because when I looked at it, when I thought about this, I'm thinking, Lord, where do I see this in Scripture? Where do I see this intentionality? And Paul shares it here so beautifully. He says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run? So just tap someone there next to you, go like you're a runner that's running. Okay? I want to tell you that you are in this race of life, this kingdom race, and we are all running. But only one receives the prize. Okay, he's obviously speaking now of the physical, of people signing in for the comrades. When they go, oh, there's a whole bunch of crazies running there. Sorry to the runners, I know the Lord bless you. I only run when something is chasing me. That's all I'm saying, other than that. But all the runners run, but only one receives the prize. So it's actually a very funny picture. You have this one guy that gets it, goes, ah. And the rest of the people go, I made it. Sorry. I'll pack slack by all the runners. When I went a big, I'll start running. Okay, so let's continue reading. So run that you may obtain it. So run with that purpose. Run like you're going to be the first guy to cross that line. Every athlete exercises self-control. Now, I know we don't like this word, self-control, because it means I need to control myself. I have a leash. And I'm the boss of the leash. I'm going, hey, where are you going, self? What are you doing? I need to exercise self-control. Okay, that's a very vague, not a good representation of self-control, but we need to control ourselves. Okay? Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wealth, but we, and an imperishable. And for me, this is the crux of the matter. If we are talking about this intentional thing, it's for the imperishable. It's not necessary to be so successful this side of heaven, and it has no impact for eternity. We want to compete, and we are competing for the imperishable. That will go beyond death into eternal life. Verse 26. And this is where he says this. He says, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. In other words, he's hitting something. 27. But I discipline my body and keep it under control. Paul, why did you write that down? And I just realized Paul wasn't just about getting through life. He actually intentionally disciplined himself, kept his body under control. Why? Lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So if we look at Paul's picture, we see that he makes sure that his service to Jesus is not aimless. And I want you to weigh your walk with Christ at this moment in that. Is it just, are you just going through the motions? Are you making this count? Is it planned? Is it, you know, if you look at the definition, is your walk with Christ with purpose? Do you wrestle it out with Him to understand what His will and His plan is for you? Like I said last week, you know, I often ask the question to people, why did God take the time to create you? What does he want to achieve with his life? And so often people actually don't know. They have no sense, no prophetic sense, no. You know, I get the idea they never wrestled with God to understand what he wants to do with his life. And I think it's for me to go and have an honest sit down and say, okay, but God, I want this life to be purposeful for you. What do you want to do with this life? So he makes sure that he hits what he intends. So he's not like a guy just standing there. He actually wants to hit something. And then he disciplines his body. And I love that because that speaks to me. Where I have to say no to this body and discipline it. Because who of you know that your body doesn't always want to do the spiritual stuff? Like, for instance, the fast that starts this afternoon. Your body is saying, you know, it's going to be a tough week. I'm not sure. You don't like fasting, champ. That's what my body says. You need food to survive. And that's where I have to go, no, buddy. I have to discipline you. I'm going to walk by the Spirit on this one. I'm going to follow Jesus in a different way, and we will fast. So all of us are, when it comes to the fast, we are wrestling with, you know, should it be a full fast? You know, should it be a Daniel fast? And I can tell you, probably most of you will either go for a tech fast or a Daniel fast. Because none of us want to fast the whole fast. Because that's tough, man. But why are you going to discipline your body? And listen, this is between you and the Lord. If you've got health issues, then fine. Do a tech fast. Do a Daniel fast. If you have chronic medication, please don't go on a full fast. I don't want to bury people. But be wise in how you do this. But maybe lead your body somewhere. And discipline your body. And I like what he says. And he keeps his body under control. Why? Because he doesn't want to be disqualified or miss the mark. He wants to reach the intended goal for which God has created him. You know, Paul's life radically changed when he encountered Jesus on that road to Patmos. He radically changed. And I pray that we will again just have a radical encounter with God so that we just don't go through the motions. In actual fact, I believe this world cannot afford us just to go through the motions anymore as the sons and daughters of God. If we're not going to be intentional about advancing God's kingdom in this place, who is? If the saints of God are not going to do it, who is going to do it? So how can we follow Paul's example? I think we need to start thinking about our lives and maybe just weighing what is going on. The question we faced last week about what is in the box. Again, are you putting Christ in that box? Or is it Christ with trying to fit a few other things in there? Or are we honest and there's actually something else in the box that we are pursuing and he's not even in the box? And that's where the weight comes in. What is the one thing that defines my life? What is the one thing that determines my intentionality? Because we all know that in this life there's so many things that compete for our time and attention. You just have to have children. And suddenly, you know, life is... Yeah? Before kids, life was simple. Hey, honey, let's go away for the weekend. You know, you pack for like 20 minutes. Maybe 30 because the wife wants to fit a few other things. I get that. Yeah? I had to buy another car when Jemuel was born. We had a little Uno Pacer. And the pram didn't fit in the back of the Pacer. I had to actually literally disassemble the thing. So going away was not simple. He sat behind Lorette, and on the right side of him was like to the roof, man. Because it's piccolos and it's... Life is not simple. There's a lot of things that contend for our lives and our time. But what's in the box? What are you aiming at in relation to eternity? I think to this point, I've never wrestled with this question so much as what I do now, because I don't want to miss anything between here and whenever I go home. I want to make sure I accomplish everything that Christ is calling me to do. I want to make sure that by God's grace, I advance the kingdom as much as possible. Galatians 2:20 is probably the scripture that speaks to me about this whole living intentionally for eternity. It's a scripture that fits it so beautifully. And I want us to just to read that. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's declaration here. Such a beautiful. And I want to embrace this with everything that is in me, that I have been crucified. You've heard me say this before, but I've never heard a dead guy with an opinion. When you are dead to sin, when you are dead to this life from a fleshly point of view, you are alive in Christ. I was crucified with him. I died. It's no longer me that lives. I live differently. And I think sometimes when we are not intentional in our lives, we try and mix everything into one, I don't know, weird soup or something in this life where this life is not just about the kingdom or and from that intentionality rather. But we're trying to fit everything in. Listen, the reality is, do we have children? Yes. Some of us at least. Do you have a job? Yes. Do you have family? And they interesting? Yes. Do you have your finances and your health and all these things? Yes, we all have these things. But it's how I walk through this that makes the difference. So how does the scripture show us intentionality? Firstly, it recognizes my state, that I'm crucified with Christ. I am free from sin. I have been set free. I'm a new creation. Ah, come on! So in other words, I've been endowed with everything I need to live differently. Correct? Secondly, it declares that this life is not mine anymore. It's Christ who dwells in me. And even as the devil maybe wants to frustrate you, you need to draw life from Christ. That's John 15, where he writes that, you know, you need to be in that vine. Continue. And you can do nothing unless you are in the vine. So make sure that your time with God is precious. And thirdly, he declares intent to live by faith. Faith in what? In the Son of God. That's the intent of my life. I walk by faith. I live by faith. I breathe even by faith. In the Son of God. And for his purposes for my life. Where he's taking this. And then fourthly, how is it possible? Because I am loved. You are loved. You are loved so much by the Father. He desires to take you places. I want to say this. I think that each one of you, as you are sitting here today, are actually much more powerful in the spirit than you are giving yourself credit for. Because we all want to be humble, but I think we are so humble that we are falsely humble that we're actually just justifying not stepping out. And I don't want to live there anymore. I want to be bold for Jesus. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 19 to 20 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. I have the Holy Spirit dwelling in this temporal house. And I want the Holy Spirit to take this temporal house wherever he wants. I want to glorify God even in this body. I want to lead it. I want to take care of it. You see, I don't want to live in such a way when it comes to health issues and so on. I don't want to live in such a way that I'm the cause that I die sooner. I can eat steak every weekend, every day, with net so lekker stuk vet on. I will enjoy it. But who knows what that will do to me? McDonald's burgers is easy. Oh no, we don't do McDonald's anymore. I just want to say that the way that I look after this body, even in the physical, I need to glorify God in the way that I live. But can we remember that our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit again? Can I just emphasize that He is holy and He dwells within us? And as sons and daughters of God, He too has an agenda with your life. If I look at Scripture, you know, I often say that I believe as Christians sometimes when we pray about something, that we are often very happy to settle for vague answers from the Lord. You know, I have peace, or I kind of sense this. We don't wrestle for, you know, that Scripture or that prophetic word, or someone that dreams and shares that with you, or someone comes and prophesies over you. We so often don't wrestle or trust God for that. We kind of just, you know, we're happy with it vague. And I believe the Holy Spirit is so intentional with your life, because if I read the Bible, I see a God who was intentional in the way that He led His people. You know, if you take Israel and say, listen, I'm going to take you to the promised land. He had a plan. It was supposed to take 3 days. They did it in 40 years. And I think sometimes we do that, because we get distracted by the things that is around us. So lastly, when we consider Paul's deliberate approach, when you remember that you are no longer, it's no longer you that live, when you remember that we were bought with a price, then how will this change your life? How will this change your leadership, your servitude, how you serve, your finances, your relationships, your decisions, your plans, your the direction, your goals? When you consider it, what will change? How will you intentionally change things for what Jesus intended with your life? More than that, how will you intentionally change the way you reflect this love that you have received to this world, the Father's love? What will change in the way that you do it? How will it change the way that you engage with Scripture or prayer and fasting, or simply just obeying when He tells you do this? I guess I want to know, how are we intentionally going to live for eternity? And I want to stress this, the focus is eternity, it's eternal purpose. It's not just getting through this life. I think sometimes we say no to stuff that God wants to do in our lives, leadership, especially sometimes even in the church. We say no to stuff because it doesn't fit between everything else. And I honestly think sometimes we miss how God wants to grow us, shape us, mold us, because it's going to cost us time. But how will I intentionally shape and mold my life along with the Holy Spirit that dwells in me? How will I lead this body to glorify God daily? That's what I want us to wrestle with. So I want us this week just to go sit at Jesus' feet. And maybe just consider, you know, your intentionality right now. Because you're intentional about some stuff. Your values often determines that. But what are you intentional about in your life? And what does Jesus maybe want to change in the way that you go about? So can we stand?